I'd like to bring the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Capital Construction to order. Excuse us for our lateness in starting and some interruptions perhaps. With that, I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5533.
Really quick, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
Thank you. Just really quick, colleagues, I wanted to share with you, I right now serve on the Transportation Committee and also Revenue as well, and so I'm going to be bouncing back and forth. I do look forward to some point, perhaps towards the end, being able to vote in the affirmative on each and every one of these items. So I apologize if I do miss some votes.
Okay, you will be excused whenever you're jumping.
Thank you.
With that, Amanda, can you give us a brief summary of the bill?
Sure. Chair Holvey, members of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 5533 appropriates general fund and provides other funds limitation to the Department of Administrative Services for debt service payments on bonds issued for the benefit of the Oregon Health and Science University. General fund of $26,061,385 is appropriated for debt service on outstanding Article 11 G bonds sold for the OHSU Knight Cancer Institute. Other funds limitation of $30,906,415 is established for debt service and related costs on outstanding Article 11 Oregon Opportunity Bonds paid with Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement Funds, and other funds limitation of $7,922,028 is also established for legacy Article 11F, Subsection 1, General Obligation Bonds paid with OHSU revenues.
And do we have anyone signed up to testify on this bill?
Nope.
No, we do not. Is there any discussion on the bill? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just very briefly, I couldn't be more supportive of this action. OHSU does a great job for the entire state of Oregon, and when we support their efforts, it supports not only the urban area but all of rural Oregon, and I appreciate all that they do. Thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you. Any other discussion? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5533 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5533.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 5533 be moved to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Girard moves Senate Bill 5533 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there any objection?
I'll volunteer to carry if you want.
And
I'm a graduate of there.
Then Senator Girard will carry that to full Ways and Means and
to the Senate floor.
And to the Senate floor, and we'll have Representative Smith carry it on the floor on the House side. With that, I'll close that work session. Senate Bill 5533 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5539.
Mr. Chair,
can you
Chair?
Give us a brief description of the bill?
Members of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 5539 is the allocation bill for the Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement revenues. The original bill contained the transfers that were consistent with governor's budget. The Dash 1 amendment is consistent with the legislative plan. It includes almost $31 million for the OHSU bond payments, $155 million to the Oregon Health Plan, almost $14 million for community mental health programs, and $3.5 million for physical education-related grants.
Great. And do we have anybody signed up for this? We do not. For public hearing, is there any discussion under public hearing? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5539 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5539.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 5539.
Senator Rod moves the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5539. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the amendment's adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 5539 as amended with the Dash 1 amendment to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Rod moves Senate Bill 5539 as amended with a dash one amendment to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Motion carries. And I'll close that work session on Senate Bill 5539 and open a public. Oh, and my carriers will be on the Senate side.
OLAS just went down. So my ability to research backgrounds on Bill has just disappeared. Tobacco Master Settlement Council. I think Senator Girard volunteered again.
I'd be happy to do that.
Very good. And I think I will have Representative Rayfield carry this bill to the full and also on the floor. And so with that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 5539. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5545. Welcome. Could you give us a brief summary?
Absolutely. Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5545 is a bill relating to state financial administration. The Dash 1 amendment replaces the original contents of the bill so that fees may be that were created by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and administratively approved by the Department of Administrative Services can be ratified. The fees in question are fees on micro-tier producers and wholesalers on sampling laboratories, and there's also a change fee relating to labeling and packaging.
Thank you. No one signed up for public testimony on Senate Bill 5545. Is there any discussion from the committee? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5545 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5545.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5545.
Senator Girard moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5545. Is there discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, the Dash 1 amendment is adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 5545 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Girard moves Senate Bill 5545 to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with the Dash 1 amendment with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection?
I'm going to carry this thing.
Seeing none, the motion passes. And for carriers
on the floor, Senator Burdick, in committee, I was going to say Senator Monroe, but you know how that would work out.
That would be funny.
Why don't you have Gomberg carry it? Yeah. Yeah. Have Gomberg to the full, and then Linear on our house floor.
Yeah, that's fine.
Wow. Okay.
Gomberg.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's his
sub-right
policy, so yes.
With that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 5545.
That's good prediction.
And we will open a work session on Senate Bill 1032.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. 1032 relates to the Oregon Promise Program. It removes the $10 million cap permanently on the amount of Oregon Promise grants and administration costs per fiscal year. It reduces the amount a person receives by $50 for each term that they get the grant. There are certain students that either hardship, National Guard, or others that are do not necessarily have to meet the six-month requirement of participating in the program or enrolling in the program for high school graduation. And finally, it provides flexibility to HEC to change the eligibility requirements, mainly around earned family contribution, if it determines that the revenue or the resource it has available will be insufficient for the number of applications they get in.
Max.
Thank you. Max, I appreciate that.
Verdict on the floor. Sir.
Oh, okay.
Here, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things I think we in the legislature need to consider is that under eligibility, many young men and young women right out of high school go and serve missions for their church. And as a consequence, when they return back, they're ineligible for this program. And it's going to be a piece of legislation I'll be introducing in February. And I hope folks would realize that these youth who are serving 2 years, giving them of themselves, should remain eligible, even though they're away from that. Just wanted to get that on the record.
Other discussion?
Ready for a motion?
Yes.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 1032.
Senator Girard moves the dash A4 amendment be adopted to Senate Bill 1032. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, the amendment's adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 1032 as amended. I'd do better if I don't read the darn thing. And Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 1032 to the full Ways and Means. I move, let me correct myself one more time here.
Hey, get that.
I move Senate Bill 1032 as amended with the dash A4s to the full Ways and Means with the do pass recommendation.
Senator
pick it up. I'm going to have to replace you.
Senator Girard moves Senate Bill 1032 with the A, as amended, with A4 amendment to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the motion passes.
My vote carry.
I'm the chief sponsor, but I'd ask Senator Monroe to carry to the full and to the Senate floor. And I think Barbara Smith Warner would be best on the House side if the Speaker agrees.
Thank you. I concur with that. That's what we will do. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1032 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5522.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, this is the budget bill for the Chief Education Office. It is a current service level of just under $10 million for this agency. Our package 801, there are two packages. Package 801 reduces the budget by $1.988 million and eliminates six positions or 5.75 FTE. The positions are a policy research director, a board administrator, research assistant, a solutions architect as part of the statewide longitudinal data system, and a support or an exec support specialist. One of these positions is currently vacant. And that is the first package. The second package creates a special appropriation to the emergency board for the second year of this agency's costs. This would be a reduction of $3.972 million. It does factor in moving costs. The agency will be moving from the building, a kitty corner from the Capitol, across Court Street into the public service building where both HEC and ODE are located. So roughly half of their revenues would be, or half the resources for the agency would be put into a special purpose appropriation. And this would allow the policymakers and the legislature to determine what the proper role of this agency is, as well as there are ongoing discussions about the overall governance of education. I believe Senator Roebling is leading that effort. So that leaves a budget, Mr. Chair, of the right piece of paper here. There it is. In this, for this bill of $4,022,118, 13 positions and 6.4 FTE, and then there would be a $3.972 million SPA in the bill also.
Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the adoption of dash one amendment to Senate Bill 5522.
Actually, we need to do the KPMs to play it safe.
Oh, okay.
So, though you can't see them, we have the KPMs real briefly. They are proposing five KPMs and removing six of them. The six proposed for deletion basically are things that are found in the other education agencies where they're more appropriately placed.
Want me to restate the motion?
We need to act on the KPMs, too.
I'll give you... I move the LFO recommendations on the key performance measures.
Senator Drog moves to adopt the key performance measures for Senate Bill 5522. Is there any discussion on that? Is there any objection? Hearing none, they are adopted.
I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5522.
Senator Drob moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5522. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, they're so adopted.
I move Senate Bill 5522 as amended by the Dash 1 amendment to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Drob moves Senate Bill 5522 as amended with the Dash 1 amendment to the full Committee on Joint Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, because of the special purpose appropriation that is in this proposal, we will be having a conversation about this office in the short session next year, looking at their KPMs and other things, and the role of this office as it relates to the rest of the education system. So just a flag for that. We will be doing that. So.
Is there any other discussion? Representative Smith.
Mr. Chair, I'm so glad the speaker raised that issue. For me, it's awfully challenging when I'm looking at KPM number 5 under customer service and under the metric of availability of information. Out of a target of 80%, we're only hitting 56%. It would seem to me that the Chief Education Office, if any of their functions, if any one of their functions, it ought to be helping folks access information. And so when I see that they're getting an F in that category, that's alarming. And then I look at expertise. You would hope that if there was any office that would be able to provide our school districts and our educators and our superintendents with accurate information, it would be these folks. And they're getting a C minus at 70%. And then you go down to timeliness at 60%, which is a D minus. And my goodness, you know, they hold our school districts to this high standard of getting information in on a timely basis. And yet the folks who use their services the most are giving them a low grade. And so, Madam Speaker, Mr. Chair, I'm so glad that in the short session we're going to have an opportunity to talk about this office and the role they play in educating our children.
All right. Is there any other discussion?
I'll let you leave.
I believe the motion is already stated. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Carriers?
The carriers on this will be two full ways and means.
Are we on the Chief Education Office?
Yes, we are.
I think it probably should be the two subcommittee chairs split ever. Anyway, they're the people that had to do all the discussions behind the scenes.
Do we have Smith Warner to the full and the House floor and Monroe to your floor?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 5522. And let's open up a work session on House Bill 2687.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, House Bill 2687 establishes the Resiliency Grant Fund, capitalized with proceeds from bonds authorized by Article 11Q of the Constitution, and creates a grant program to distribute or purchase emergency equipment at the local level. The bill requires the Office of Emergency Management and the grant recipients to enter into an agreement and directs the office to maintain an inventory and conduct inspections of equipment purchased under the program. There is a Dash 1 amendment to this bill that removes bond authorization from the bill. We try and keep bond authorization all in the bond bill, so that is where that is found. There are also expenses associated with this program, and those will be included in House Bill 5006, where other bond-related expenses are located. Included right now is $5 million of other funds, expenditure limitation to distribute grants from the Resiliency Fund, and $70,000 of other funds, expenditure limitation for cost of bond issuance. There's $181,178 of general fund and $181,000 $181,178 federal funds expenditure limitation and two positions to administer the grant program.
Thank you. Senator Rudd.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2687.
Senator Girard moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2687. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Motion passes.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2687 as amended with the Dash 1 amendment to the full Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Girard moves House Bill 2687 as amended with a Dash 1 amendment to the full Committee on Joint Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? The motion passes. Carriers, I don't know who the appropriate sub for this is, or
probably public safety would be my guess. And I don't know, Winters?
I'll I'll carry this one to the full Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, and Winters to the
Winters,
Senate, the Senate floor.
Senator Winters to the floor.
It might be Boquist. I don't know if he...
Oh, yeah, Boquist would be good.
Senator Evans was the...
Yeah, Evans on the House floor.
And I got Evans on the House floor.
If Boquist wants it, we'll do that. If not, we'll go to Winters.
So we have... Hopefully I don't mess that up. So. All right, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2687 and open a work session on House Bill 2038.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2038 relating to school food programs. The bill expands the organizations eligible for the competitive grant portion of the Farm to School program. It's recommended adoption of the A13 amendment, which incorporates changes made by the A11 policy amendment and changes the general fund appropriation to $4,500,000 in the 2017-19 biennium for the Farm to School program.
Thank you. Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move the Dash A13s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the Dash A13s be adopted to the Senate. House Bill 2038.
Senator Girard moves to adopt the Dash A13 amendment to House Bill 2038. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Motion passes.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2038 as amended with the Dash A13s to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Rudd moves House Bill 2038 as amended with the A13 amendment to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes, and we'll. Representative Huffman, would you like to carry that one?
I can do full and maybe Doherty on the floor.
It's Clem's bill.
I'll have Clem on the floor.
Monroe.
And Senator Monroe will carry it on the Senate floor.
Thanks,
sir. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2038. And open a public hearing on House Bill 3149.
Mr. Chair, I was informed by the legislative administrator that OLA should be working again.
Yeah, it is working, yes, it is.
I don't have time to read it, so go ahead.
House Bill 3149 makes several declarations regarding the Oregon Coast Trail System and requires the Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation to, in cooperation with the Oregon Department of Transportation and other entities, develop an action plan to complete the trail. The measure further directs the Department of Parks and Recreation to identify and address several significant items to be considered in the plan. The recommended A5 amendment removes those provisions in the Angros version of the bill related to the creation of an Oregon Coast Trail Fund and the requirement that the plan be completed and submitted to the legislature by September 15th of 2019, substituting instead that the department must submit annual progress reports on the development and the implementation of the plan.
We vote
no.
Senator Girard. No, you got to close the public hearing.
Oh. No one signed up for public hearing. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3149 and open a work session on House Bill 3149.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the dash A5 amendments to House Bill 3149.
Senator Rob moves to adopt the dash A5 amendment to House Bill 3149. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, motion passes.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 3149 as amended with the dash A5 amendments to the full way amendments with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Girard moves House Bill 3149 as amended with the A5 amendment to the full joint committee on ways and means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, motion passes. And we'll have Representative Gomberg take that to the full committee on the floor on the House side.
Robla.
And Senator Robla on the Senate side, and on the House side, we'll have Brock Smith as a joint carrier with Representative Gomberg. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3149. And open a public hearing on House Bill 3202.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. House Bill 3202 seeks to establish an expedited review process for the Southwest Corridor Max Light Rail Project. It provides the Supreme Court original review of land use decisions. It provides for public engagement and enables local sponsors to better pursue federal funds. It has an estimated fiscal impact of $205,157, other funds, that's state highway funds. There is one position for ODOT. The dash A6 adds expenditure limitation.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Could you limit the speaker to 2 minutes? So.
We have a 1 minute and 30 second limit.
Thank you.
With a 30 second variance.
I'm trying to keep a vote for you.
So signed up for a public hearing.
I hope he knows
Aaron Dees.
Thank you, co-chairs Gerard and Holvey, and members of the committee. I'm Aaron Dees, and I realize you don't want to listen to me ramble about my love of transit on a Saturday afternoon. So I can cover the quick highlights on this one. We are building we're working on building a light rail in Southwest Corridor that goes from downtown Portland to Tigard. For all past previous light rail lines, we've had an expedited and structured land use process. There was a bill passed in the 80s and a bill passed in the mid-90s that this bill is framed on. Just a few quick key points on it. One is that it's, again, fundamentally the same as the previous legislation. It was drafted in coordination with all of the jurisdictions that would be affected by it. And as we've had conversations with LCDC and the governor's office, and they've both are comfortable with the process. The bill does essentially two things. It sets the framework for a specific timeline for us to be able to get this done so that we can get into the process for the full funding grant agreement of the federal government. And there are a number of other pieces, but I won't bore you with them. if you have any questions, please let me know.
All right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, I'm going to close public hearing on House Bill 3202 and open a work session on House Bill 3202.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the adoption of the dash A6 amendments to House Bill 3202.
Senator Rod moves to adopt the dash A6 amendment to House Bill 3202. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? The motion carries.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 3202 as adopted with the dash A6 amendments to the full ways and means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Rod moves House Bill 3202 as amended with the A6 amendment to the full joint committee on ways and means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Any motion carries. Carriers on.
Representative Williamson, perhaps to the full and to the House floor, if that's okay.
Unless Doherty wants it on the floor.
That would be fine with me.
And then Senator Burdick on the Senate floor.
And Senator Burdick on the Senate floor.
Yeah. Okay.
I have no thought of that.
I guess.
Thank you, Representative Williamson, for your volunteerism. With that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 3202. Committee, I'm going to carry over House Bill 3203 with for the public hearing and work session to Monday, July 3rd. I think that's at 9 a.m., but that time may be subject to change. So I think we
need to discuss. I mean, I'm going to say I got a problem with the word care. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to open the public hearing for House Bill 3203, and I will announce that I am carrying it over again for a public hearing work session to the Monday, July 3rd calendar. With that, I'll close the public hearing. It's not how I do it. With that, colleagues, I'm going to stand at ease for just a moment.
They don't have much of a sense of humor, these house people. I mean, I was going to do it. I didn't know that Kenny Guy was involved. She and I had a problem with the session.
Reconvene the Subcommittee on Capital Construction, and we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 235.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 235 with the -B10 amendment amends the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act by allowing use of tobacco products in an enclosed area that is outdoors. The B-10 amendment restores the bill to what the Senate originally passed and removes all new licensing and regulatory requirements that are now included in the B engrossed version.
Thank you. Senator Gerard.
Did you open a public hearing? Or?
Oh, yes. Somebody wanted to testify on this? Oh, Bill Perry.
He's dressed for it.
Yeah, thanks for dressing up.
You called me away from the fourth inning of my son's baseball game, which I was coaching.
So yeah. Oh, boy.
You made the wrong call. You should be there.
Yeah,
you
no jokes about
that. And we didn't need you.
And they ended up losing.
Please introduce yourself for the record. You could lose this bill by showing up, too.
For the record, Bill Perry, the Oregon Restaurant Lodging Association, very quickly, in the 2015 session, House Bill 2546 inadvertently removed the smoking porch issue or the enclosed areas from statute. And these were important when we banned smoking in bars. It gives some place for smokers to go. It's not only to protect them from the elements, but to help protect from sound in neighborhoods. There's a lot of different things that these porches created. It helps the owners control the population, because still the biggest complaint we get on smoking is people smoking on the street. So this gives some place for different businesses to put the smokers where they have more control and can try to control the neighborhood. So all this does is reinstate the language that was inadvertently removed. And so we support the B-10 amendment. So hopefully that means it just goes to the House floor and it doesn't have to go back to the Senate. Happy to answer any questions.
Is there any questions? Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, I'm going to close public hearing on Senate Bill 235 and open a work session on Senate Bill 235.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the adoption of the -B10 amendments to Senate Bill 235.
Senator Gerard moves to adopt the -B10 amendment to Senate Bill 235. Any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the adoption of Senate Bill 235 as amended with the -B10 amendments to the full Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Gerard moves Senate Bill 235 as amended with the B10 amendment to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? The motion passes. And
Chairman,
carrier for that.
Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward has asked to carry it to the committee, but we will not need a Senate carrier, only a House carrier on the bill.
And the House carrier on that bill, any preference?
I don't care. I can. Whatever.
All right, John. Thanks.
Representative Huffman will carry.
That's enthusiastic.
So with that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 235 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3359.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Welcome back. Could you please give us a...
Real briefly, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee. House Bill 3359 relates to long-term care. It includes several requirements related to safety, quality, training, licensing, and staffing of residential care facilities, long-term care facilities, and adult foster homes. It implements a program called the Residential Care Quality Management Program within DHS and requires a council to oversee that agency regarding program operations. There's a dash A4 amendment in orders for you today, as well as the dash A6 amendment. The difference is that the dash A6 amendment includes the expenditure limitation for the Department of Care of the program. And there's people to tell you about it.
What is our
Yes, up for testimony. Let's start with the three that are already there. If you'd introduce yourself for the record, please.
Hi, co-chairs, members of the committee. I'm Alyssa Kinnegar from House District 46, parts of Southeast and Northeast Portland, and I know that you're trying to rush through this. We'll try to be really brief, but this is the result of a year's worth of work. It came out of a task force that was part of a bill last year. The bill was not passed, but we decided to go ahead with it anyway, and it was the result of some problems that had happened at Baycrest, I think the name was, in Coos Bay. So Representative Cady McEwen brought this bill forward, and Arnie Roblin was also a part of it, Senator Roblin. We wanted to make sure that we really improve the quality of long-term care facilities. So as a result of that, just briefly going over the last year, we started with an informal task group, and then Mr. Bentley can tell you more about the Purple Ribbon Commission that grew into with very wide stakeholder support. In particular on this bill, OCA, Alzheimer's Association, AARP, the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, and DHS have been some of the primary players to really ensure a huge overhaul, really an ombudsman, comprehensive omnibus is what I was trying to say. I was confused because you were sitting next to me. So this bill does a lot of things. I'll really briefly go over it. Happy to answer any questions, and these two can expand on it. But there are two different pieces to it. One is enforcement pieces. The other is quality. Just briefly on enforcement, it increases civil penalties in a progressive system and lays out the more harm is done, the higher the penalties are. Increases the caps on that. It puts conditions on license and restrictions on admissions. I know that the speaker may put a statement about that before we end the hearing here. It has enhanced regulatory oversight, determines how to do license suspension, and also increases licensing fees and licensing renewal fees. On the quality side, there's a quality measurement program that includes a quality metric council to develop quality metrics and generate reports on quality statewide. Those will be reported and be transparent, and it's a way to incentivize facilities because their quality metrics are going to be up there to really be the best they can be. There's a number of different staffing, trying to really increase our ability to make sure that we have the appropriate staffing levels. So the department is supposed to develop an acuity-based staffing tool to assess whether facilities have sufficient caregivers to meet the specific needs of their residents, and it requires the facility to use this tool when placing a staffing requirement on a facility. Training and competency was a big piece of this. All direct care staff employed by residential facility or adult foster care facilities will complete training in dementia care. Direct care staff will complete 6 hours of continuing education every year. The department will prescribe how to assess the competency of direct care staff. And by July 2019, we will, for the first time, require licensing for administrators of residential care facilities. Currently, that's only in nursing facilities. There's another piece of this, which is prescription drug packaging, to make sure that there's not mistakes done in distributing medications. prescription drugs must be packaged in a way that reduces errors, like blister packs or unit dose systems. And in physician education, the Oregon Medical Board shall encourage physicians to obtain continuing medical education in detection and early diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. So that is very, very brief. There is a parking lot of issues that we are going to be considering over the next year, so we will continue to focus on this, but this is a huge leap forward in quality. I really want to thank everyone who's been a part of this process.
Thank you. I know it was brief, but you must have missed our two-minute limit for
Representative. She can have a minute.
Co-Chair Gerard, I will be very brief. Members of the committee, I'm Kathy McEwen. I represent House District 9. This started with a constituent of mine. Her name was Dot Wright. Things came to my attention that were of concern in my district. And out of that, about a year and a half's worth of work, partnering with my good colleague, Chair Kenny Geyer, and the help of all of the people that you see here, in the department and at OCA with the Ombudsman and many, many other organizations, we've culminated this with a bill that is comprehensive and I think moves us down the road a long way towards protecting our elders, which is what the goal was in the beginning. So I would elicit your support in trying to move this bill forward. We've put a lot of work into it and are looking forward to getting it across the floor of both houses into the governor's desk to be signed to protect our vulnerable elders. So thank you so much. Brief enough, Mr. Hovey. Thank you. And Co-Chair Gerard, we're missing you in transportation. I'm going to go back over and do that.
And I'm what? Yeah, we don't miss me.
Thanks. She's like, hey, speaker, you keep him here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
And Mr. Bentley, you can re-seat yourself.
And I'll jump in. Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Fred Steele. I'm the state long-term care ombudsman, and will be brief. As the governor-appointed individual that is appointed to advocate for the rights, the dignity, the independence of the over 44,000 Oregonians living in the care facilities that will see the improvements and the enhancements from this bill, and also fortunate to lead approximately 200 Oregonians who volunteer their time to advocate for the individuals throughout Oregon. Very, very much just wanted to put on the record that we are fully supportive of this bill, the collaboration that has gone into it, and again, the comprehensive nature of the bill and its improvements it'll make in long-term care. And just as a quick note, too, we'll comment on the fact that we're here on a Saturday, and there's a beauty in that. For those volunteers, they go in evenings on a regular basis. They're in there on weekends advocating for those Oregonians that live in those facilities and those Oregonians living there 24/7 that need this support and this advocacy. So I appreciate the after-hours effort of moving this bill. So thank you.
Thank you.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Phil Bentley with the Oregon Healthcare Association. I will also be very brief and not repeat what's already been said. I think, as everyone's alluded to, this was a long labor to get to this point today, and the Oregon Healthcare Association is very pleased to be sitting here in support of House Bill 3359. I really want to express our appreciation to our partners, the stakeholders that worked on this legislation with us, in particular our partners, the Alzheimer's Association, which helped us convene the Purple Ribbon Commission, which was basically a panel of experts looking at ways that we can improve care for our Oregon seniors. And also, I really want to express my support and appreciation for Representative Kenny Geyer, Representative McEwen, and the Speaker and her staff, who really did help shepherd this bill through the process. There's a broad cross-section of sponsors on the bill in both chambers and both parties, and we look forward to moving the bill forward and continuing the work. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the folks? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony today. With that, no other discussion, I'm going to close the public hearing. Oh.
Did you want to make a... I just wanted to... I know that there, Senator Gelser wanted to make a...
Oh, yeah, I'll get to that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3359 and open a work session on House Bill 3359.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the -A6 amendments be adopted to House Bill 3359.
Is Marissa here? Oh, there you are. There.
Senator Girod moves to adopt the Dash A6 amendment to House Bill 3359. Is there discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, if I may. Thank you for the public testimony and all the folks who worked on this bill. And for those of you who, you notice it's quite a long amendment, it took us a while to get here, and so we really appreciate the latitude to have it coming in rather late. But we do want to clarify a couple things for the record. And Marissa's our drafter for the bill. There's a lot of things in here, and there are certain sections that do different things that we just want to clarify for the record. This is particularly to the definitions in Section 4. Of the amendment in Section 5, because they do different things, the two sections. So my question for the record is, do the definitions, we want to make sure that the definitions in Section 4 do not apply to Section 5, and that DHS has authority to make the determination about the definitions related to immediate jeopardy. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, co-chairs and Representative Kotek, yes, the definitions that are contained in Section 4 all apply to specific subsections in Section 4. They say, as used in this subsection, serious harm means, and so those definitions do not apply outside of the Section 4. The use of the same terms in Section 5, the department would have discretion to, they have their plain and ordinary meaning, and the department would have discretion to interpret them as the department wishes. They might use the other definitions as guidance, but they wouldn't be bound by them.
Thank you. And in Section 5, we start off with the definition of immediate jeopardy, and so the department has the flexibility to interpret.
Yes, Co-Chair, Representative Kotek, yes.
Correct. Thank you very much. And then also want to clarify for the record that, and again, as you probably are aware, we have vulnerable Oregonians in a variety of settings. And so this bill is designed to apply only to services related to APD, adult and peoples with disabilities. And so it's not intended, nor does it set precedent for licensing actions for child welfare, developmental disabilities, or child care. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, Co-Chair's Representative Kotek. In a lot of these provisions, we've split out aging and people with disabilities. That part of the Department of Human Services is not established in statute, so it's a little more complicated to separate out the different responsibilities in statute, but that is what we attempted to do, is to make the provisions apply only to those populations that part of the Department of Human Services services.
Great, thank you. And colleagues, that's just because we didn't get into those areas and want to make sure that we weren't overstepping to another area of service delivery. So thank you very much, Marissa. And thank you for your hard work on the draft. Also want to thank my staff, Taylor, and the department in particular for all their hard work, and they are here. So thanks very much, colleagues.
Is there any other discussion? I think we're on the...
We've already made the motion.
It's a very serious bill. Did we want any levity? Representative Rayfield, in our discussions a couple days ago on the DHS budget, on the APD portion of that budget, which is the seniors portion, asked if the Senate should declare a conflict of interest.
No. Oh, and you wish to declare that now?
A potential.
The gray hairs.
Well, Senator, the only reason I was working on it is I'm officially eligible to apply for AARP membership. So.
So we have a motion on the table
for
the A6. No other discussion. Is there any objection to adopting the A6 amendment to House Bill 3359? Seeing none, the motion carries.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 3359 as amended with the Dash A6 amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Girod moves House Bill 3359 as amended with the A6 amendment to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, motion passes, and we'll have Representative Rayfield carry it to the full.
And
Alyssa Kinney Geyer and McEwen will carry it on the House, and Senator Gelser.
Well, given the magnitude of the bill, and because we seldom have two carriers, but in the magnitude of this bill, I'd like to have Senator Steiner Hayward open and Senator Gelzer closed.
And that, so we'll have Senator Steiner Hayward and Senator Gelzer carry on.
Or if they want to switch roles.
That's up to how you do things. And so with that, I will close the work session on House Bill 3359. I do not believe we have any other business left. I don't know which assistant or so we will be meeting on Monday. So with that, I'm going to adjourn the subcommittee on capital construction.